As you're listening in today, I pray that, oh, how I love Jesus is your affirmation of faith, that you do love Jesus Christ with all that's within you. As it ends, because He first loved us. He does love us. He did love us. He does love us. He will love us. And I pray that you love Him too. We welcome each person that's listening in today. And we pray that you're blessed as you worship with us. And pray that the Holy Spirit has something special to say to your heart and your life situation. Let us pray. Father, as we bow before you today, we thank you that you are here. We may be in a basically empty building, but you're here. We cannot escape your presence. And Father, I know that you're with each person that's listening, whether they're in their home or some other place. And Father, you're there to minister to them, to love them, and may they learn to love you. We pray your anointing upon the service today, and that in every way Jesus will be lifted up and glorified. In His name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to June the 14th, Sunday, June the 14th. As usual, we want to give you the birthdays and anniversaries for each month as we celebrate them all together. And we'll begin with the June birthdays for Charlie Stroop, June the 4th, Pat Burgess, June the 7th, Adeline Hartzell, June the 6th, Hunter Udy, June the 6th, Zach Snyder, June the 6th, Avery Hartzell, June the 14th, Gary Hamilton, June the 15th, Kathy High, June the 16th, Angela Harville, June the 17th, Marie Burris, June the 20th, Jeanette Barbie, June the 22nd, Samantha Talley, June the 23rd, and Shirley Edwards, June the 27th. A lot of birthdays for the month of June. Our anniversaries for the month of June, Ted and Bonnie Barbie, June the 1st, Jeff and Lori Keplinger, June the 9th, Doug and Christine Sasser, June the 14th, and I'm told that's the 62nd anniversary for Doug and Christine Sasser. That is a great deal to be happy for and to celebrate. Kenny and Rita Linker, June the 19th. Grant and Aaron Hartzell, June the 23rd. Charles and Jewel Hatley, June the 23rd. Ann Barbie and Marvin Meggs, June the 24th. And David and Stacy Talley, June the 25th. A lot of anniversaries, too, for the month of June. We want to do the hymn sing today. I try to do a hymn song for you each and every Sunday for those out of the hymnal. I thought maybe you might enjoy that. So today we're going to sing "To God Be the Glory." And indeed, that is what it's all about, that we worship, we come together, that God will receive the glory. To God be the glory. Brenda.
So loved He the world that He gave.
I will go into the announcements for June the 14th. And I just want to remind you that we are still will be doing the two services. We'll be doing the webcast as usual and the parking lot at 10 a.m. That's the announcements I have for you. We'll now go into our prayer request. There are prayer requests I have for you today. Well, remember David Talley's dad. He's had a procedure done on his heart, and we need to keep them in our prayers. Also, we need to keep in prayers the members of the Church of Asbury Church in close to Speedwell, Virginia. They were evicted from their church. Now, you can't imagine that, but that happened to the church. And so David has asked that we keep that congregation in our prayers. And I don't know all the details, but I do know that they do not have a place to worship. And I'm going to go ahead and say thank you, David, for supplying a place for them to worship. Cynthia Yao, I talked with Betty, and Cynthia is doing much better after her appointment this week. You keep her in our prayers. Little Bryson Martin is doing well with radiation treatment. He's doing great. And then we have Colleen O'Toole, another praise report, who is doing much, much better. Let's pray for all of our graduates. We celebrated Graduate Sunday last Sunday. Not only Michael, but there's a lot of graduates out there that are about to embark upon a troubled world. And let's keep them in our prayers. And then Zach Honeycutt, who is the grandson, of course, of Doug and Christine. Zach has left for Quake, and let's keep him in our prayers as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this day you've given us, this day of June, Lord, that we can again come together in our homes to worship and to also be part of this webcast. We again thank you, Lord, for the ones that are here that are making this webcast possible. We ask you to continue to bless them. We pray a special blessing for David's dad today, Lord. We lift him up to you as he's had the heart procedure. We pray for our friends and at the Church of Asbury and up in Speedwell. We pray for the entire congregation. We fellowship with them, and we knew them well, and we pray for them. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you give us. But now, Lord, we pray also for Cynthia Yao. Cynthia has had another doctor's appointment this week and doing much, much better. We pray for her. Let's pray for little Bryson Martin as he continues with the radiation treatments in St. Jude. Praise report, we thank you for the progress that Carlene O'Toole has made as well and that she's doing much better. Let's continue to pray, Lord, for our graduates who will be embarking upon a new world that indeed is troubled world. But Lord, you're in control, and we pray for you. We pray for Zach Honeycutt as he is going into Quake. We pray for him, the Lord, he'll keep him safe. Now, Lord, as we turn our attention to our service today, we pray for those who have a part. We pray for Kathy as she comes and sings, and Brenda as she plays for us today, and for Pastor Ed, who will be bringing the message today. We lift him up to you. We pray for our 10 o'clock parking lot service Sunday. We'll pray for the time we'll all be together in the parking lot for fellowship. And we ask, Lord, your blessings upon us all. Then, Lord, we are thank you, Lord, for the fact, Lord, that we're healthy. And, Lord, we thank you for the blessings you give us in that respect. Now go with us, we pray, for this duties of this service today. And, Lord, we pray for your many blessings. And we thank you for who you are, the awesome, awesome God. Amen.
Presence
Kathy, we thank you for that special music today. And surely the presence of the Lord is with us. Amen. And I pray that wherever you are, you sense His presence. You may be sitting back there in your recliner. May you sense His presence. You may be sitting at your computer desk. May you sense His presence. Wherever you are, may you sense the presence of Jesus. As we get ready to look into some scriptures today, when you look in the mirror each morning, what do you see? Do you see somebody who's valuable, important, worthy? Or do you see somebody that's of no value, that's worthless? What do you see when you look in the mirror? And to some extent, what we see when we look in the mirror goes back to childhood. You know, one of the cruelties of childhood is being made to feel unwanted. They ever choose up a game and you were too short, too fat, too slow, too clumsy, and nobody wanted you on their team? That's sad. Maybe when you got to high school, nobody wanted you in the in crowd. You didn't have a cool car to drive. You weren't one of the better looking individuals in the class. You weren't a star athlete. You weren't a cheerleader. Or maybe you were. All kinds of insecurities. I think about certain situations in life that, in my life, I think back to how over at old North Albemarle School, we used to love to play softball. And when it was recess and the weather was pretty, we played softball. Shows up teams. And I think about a certain classmate, and he was more than chubby. And we always made him the umpire. And now if I could go back and find him, I don't even know whether he's still alive or not, I'd want to apologize to him and say, I'm sorry. You could have played first base. You could have pitched. I wondered if he ever went home at night and said, I wish they'd let me bat sometime. But we always made him the umpire. You know, kids can be cruel to one another. I grew up on the wrong side of town. And we were made to know that we grew up on the Mill Hill. We were on the wrong side of town, and the cool kids didn't really want to do anything with us. And you know what? Some of them never grew out of it. I remember years later, I had a college degree from University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, 2 advanced seminary degrees, was pastor of a 500-member church, and one of my classmates let me know I didn't count because I grew up on the wrong side of town. Well, I figured it was their problem, not mine. It was their problem, not mine. But you know, we grow up with those insecurities and maybe feel unloved and unwanted. And the devil loves to pick on that. He loves to emphasize that. He loves to tell us we won't ever amount to anything. And you know, that's why the Bible has such good news for us. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or short, fat or skinny, wearing the best clothes or some ragged clothes, educated or uneducated, poor or rich, you are special to the God in heaven. And please don't ever forget that. I want to look at some scriptures, about 4 or 5 of them, that emphasize how much God loves you. In Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah is speaking to the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah, and he says in verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God says, listen, Jeremiah, before you were ever born, I knew you. I knew all about you. You see, God being God, he knows the beginning from the end from the beginning, and he knows each one of us before we were born. Now, our parents may have said, oh, we love you, you're the answer to our prayers. Or the parents may have said to you, you were a surprise. We didn't know you were coming. Or the parents may have said to you, I wish you'd have never been born. Parents can be loving, they can be neutral, they can be cruel. But God knew all about you. You weren't any surprise to God. He didn't look down and say, who's that new kid in the hospital nursery? I didn't know he was coming. I didn't know she was coming. No, God says, I know you. And just as God had a plan for Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations, God has a plan for your life, my life. It may be to be a prophet to the nations. It may be to be something else. But God has a plan for your life. God has things He wants you to do to bring honor and glory to Him and to be a blessing to the world and to be a blessing to you. Before you were ever born, God knew you, had a plan for your life. And God chose you to be a part of His family. Turn with me now to the New Testament, Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Now, what did we just say a moment ago? God knew you before you were ever born. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. God chose us to be a part of his family before the foundation of the world. Before you ever born, God chose you to be in his family. God chose you to be saved. God chose you to go to heaven. You say, well, now, preacher, wait a minute, preacher. If God chose me, then that means I'm automatic. No, we're not automatic. He chose us, we have to then choose him. We have to choose to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We have to choose to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, that he's risen from the dead. He has chosen us in order that we might be holy and without blame. And he's made us accepted in the blood. He makes us accepted in Jesus. Explain that a little more, maybe, preacher. And I know the illustration I'm about to give is imperfect, but maybe it'll help you understand. I have a relative that wanted to adopt some children. And he and his wife were willing to have older children. They didn't have, most everybody wants a baby, but they were willing to adopt an older child. Or maybe more than one older child. And after talking with the adoption agency that they were working with, they brought some kids into their home, and they'd bring them for like a 2 or 3 days weekend and sort of get acquainted. And then next week they'd do that, and then a week or so later they'd come and stay maybe 4 or 5 days. And you would think that an older child, to have the privilege to be adopted by a loving family with the resources to really bless them, would be on their best behavior. But instead, at least two groups of kids that they got came in and were worse than brats. They did everything impossible to say, we don't want to be a part of this family. And as a result, they were passed over. Now, they had an opportunity. My relative and his wife had already seen their resumes, had already investigated them, had already chosen them to be a part of their family. But these kids chose not to be. And before the foundation of the world, God chose you to be a part of his family, to be saved and to go to heaven. But he created you and me with a free will. Amen. And we get a choice in the matter as well. God said yes, but if we say no, we spend an eternity without him. Amen. God loves you. He chose you. He makes you accepted in Jesus if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it brings praise and glory and honor to him whenever you follow him. But we get a choice. We choose yes or no, whether or not to be a part of the family of God. Let's go now over to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. And verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Before you were ever born, especially those of us in our generation, and everybody since about the year 27 or something AD, Christ died for us before we were ever born. He went to the cross and took our sins. He went to the cross and took our shame. He went to the cross and took everything that was ours. He went to hell and took it all of us and took our place that we might be forgiven. In due time, Christ died for us. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now you see, that's how valuable you are to the kingdom of God. God so loved you. You were so invaluable to him, so important to him, that he chose you before the foundation of the world. He had a plan for your life before you were born. And before you committed your first sin, Christ had already died to deal with those sins, so that you might be saved, you might be forgiven, you might have eternal life. It wasn't because you were so good, but it was because God so loved. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace. You see, you are important to God. You are valuable to the Lord. He has a plan for your life. Let's look at another scripture, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And the first verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Think of the implication of that. John is so overwhelmed with how much God loves us, how big that love is, and how awesome it is that God bestowed it or gave it to us and poured it out upon us. And because of that love, we are sons of God and daughters of God as well. But we're children of God. Those of us who believe, we're the children of God. A lot of folks get prestige out of who their daddy is. And if their daddy's important, they're important. Well, there's nobody more important than God. There's nobody more powerful than God. There's nobody richer than God. And if you're born again, he's your daddy. Jesus talked about calling him Abba, Father, you are a Son of God. And you know, as a Son of God, you have all the privileges. That makes you an heir with Jesus and a joint heir with Jesus. You see, the devil tries to tell us that we're just a poor old worm, we're worthless, we're useless. But when you look in the mirror every morning, say, there's a Son of God. There's a daughter of God. God lives in me. And I can walk out with not false pride, but with the inward pride of being a child of God, of knowing that I am accepted in the beloved, as we saw a moment ago. Not because of who we are, but we're accepted in Jesus. And God wants us to be not sinfully proud, but proud of the fact that we are His children. He wants us to act like His children. Everybody didn't have a telephone where I grew up, you know, back in the dark ages. But if you misbehaved, somehow or another the word got to mom and dad before you ever got home. And if you did something good, word got back. And you always wanted to do something to make your mom and dad proud, not something to make your mom and dad upset. And as children of God, our desire to be godly, holy, ought to inspire us to live in a way that would make Him proud. We are His children. Never forget that. Never dispute that. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're His child. As I wrote about in the newsletter this week, everything that's on the table that God promised is yours. Just partake of it. Just partake of it. You know, other people may have been cruel to you, told you you're worthless, you're unwanted, you're unloved. The devil may whisper all kinds of lies in your ear about your sorriness. But listen with the other ear to the Father, your Heavenly Father, saying, I love you, my child. And you know, when you live in that love, it changes your attitude. When you go out to face the world, you say, I'm not a loser, I'm a winner. Because I've got a mighty, mighty strong dad on my side. You remember the old childhood threat? My dad can whoop your dad. Well, when the devil comes up and says, I'm going to do this and this, just say, hey, my dad can whoop you. My dad can whoop you. Because God is far more powerful than the devil. Resist those devil's lies when he tries to tell you how worthless you are. And look in that mirror. Say, God lives in me, and I'm His child, and I'm valuable. And then in your prayer life and in your Bible study, seek to know God's plan for your life and to do it. You know, there's a scripture that says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we seek in openness and humility, the Lord will open doors and closed doors. The Lord will direct, and we'll find ourselves saying, what an awesome God I serve. The way He uses my life. The way He blesses my life. You may have grown up on the wrong side of the tracks, but when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you moved. You moved to the other side of the tracks. And you're blessed. And today I pray that you'll be encouraged to realize how much God loves you. How much God cares about you. How special you are to Him. And shake off those old lies that were told to you about your worthlessness. And hear the Lord say, I love you, my child. And if you don't know this precious Lord, He's already chosen for you to be in His kingdom. But you have to accept it. You have to say, I want to be a part of that kingdom. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And if you've never done that, I pray that you'll do that today. So that tomorrow when you look in the mirror, you can say, I moved to the other side of the tracks, the good side. I'm now a part of the family of God. Father, as we bow before You this morning, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for that awesome, awesome love that You have for us. Thank You that we're chosen. Thank You that we're accepted. Thank You that we're Your children. Thank You that You made a way through the crucifixion and the resurrection for us to enter into Your presence. Thank You that the Holy Spirit came at a point in our life and said, would You like to be a part of the family? Thank You that we said yes. And thank You that no matter what others think about us, You love us. You care about us. We're special to You. And Father, I pray for the people that are listening today. If there's a one of them, please, Father, that doesn't know Jesus, may the Holy Spirit especially tug at their heart. Open the revelation of the salvation that's through Jesus and the beauty of heaven, the glory of heaven, and draw them into the family. And Lord, the family, we want it to get bigger and bigger and bigger as more come into Your kingdom. Thank You for Your love in Jesus' name. Amen.